Am I on? Check me out. I should be on. My little green light is on anyway. I think my little green light is on. My little green light is on. Roger, if I get any of this wrong, you can correct me.
How come we're not putting the conference in verse
Mystery. MYSTER. TERY. Now, I realized last week that I started out and I said we were going to look at Romans, Ephesians, and Thessalonians. And ultimately, that's where we're going. We're going to look at Romans, Thessalonians, and Ephesians. But I had a discussion with some folks the other night, and I've decided that I'm going to deviate for a few minutes this morning and look at something else. So without any further ado, let me look at something else. Of course, we had our Thursday night affair meeting, and one of the issues that came up at the meeting was, there's a Mr. A out there who is Pauline, a right divider, understands the mystery program, reads the Pauline doctrine much time. And there's a Mr. B out there that is the same type of guy. Well, one day Mr. A calls Mr. B and says, where in the Old Testament does it specifically talk about death, burial, and resurrection? You need to listen to what I say and not pay attention to what I write. In where? Okay. And anyway, Mr. A says, I cannot specifically find any information in the Old Testament regarding the death, burial, and resurrection. And let me add this. In 3 days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I on cue so far, Roger? Therefore, Mr. A says to Mr. B, what do you know about it? And Mr. B thinks about it. And he says, I'm at a loss. I can't think about anything in the Old Testament where specifically death, burial, and resurrection is talked about. He says, I can't think of a thing. Upon which remark, Mr. A says, well, I have to delete the New Testament from my readings. Says, I no longer believe in the New Testament. I won't read it anymore. The only thing I'm going to read from now on is Genesis through Malachi. And that's it. And the reason I'm going to do that is because this guy is a liar. I'm still a liar. O-A-R. Paul is a liar. Therefore, I cannot. I cannot follow the New Testament anymore. So from now on, I will only read Genesis to Pauline. Now, we hammered that around for a few minutes, and we kind of walked away hanging our heads, wondering, what in the world is going on here? As a matter of fact, I spent many, many hours Thursday night pondering the issue. The issue is relatively simple. And when I finally concluded it, I said, I could have had a V8. Okay? And the issue is here, in more ways than one. Ron was very specific about this last week. Yes, this is a true situation. Yep. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. My fingers just don't work like they're supposed to anymore. And to me, the question is here. That page is not divinely inspired. That page is not divinely given. That page is not translated out of Greek. That's an author's page put in the document when it was first created to provide some type of separation. Now, you and I should know at this point in our lives that the Old Testament prophets wrote about this, and they wrote a lot about it. And they knew it well. All right? Now, if you look at this document, and we're saying this is the Old Testament area, and we're thinking about that page and eliminate it and from our thought processes, where are the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They're in the Old Testament. And if I read chapter 27 of Matthew, what's one of the predominant things I find in Matthew 27? What? I find the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in 3 days. It's in chapter 27 if you want to look for it. Okay? So the issue becomes that Mr. A, when he made his conclusion, made the conclusion that so many of us made years ago, and we were wrong, is that the Old Testament prophets see this, and they don't. They don't see this. The next conclusion I come to is one that I teach all the time, and sometimes I even get angry about it, is that this sees this, and as a matter of fact, this defines this for you and I. And here's a young man, or an old man, I don't know the man. Here's a man that said, I am going to reject this on the basis of the fact that this does not address it. Now, what do we know about the Old Testament prophets? They never addressed anything in the grace message. They never addressed anything in the mystery program. The thing about it is, if I told you who Mr. B was, you'd all go, no. This guy rejects his whole doctrine status on the basis that he can't find this in what he classifies as something on the wrong side of this page. The conclusion is everything to the left of this is Old Testament, everything to the right of this is New Testament, and we know now that that's not true. We know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament books. At the very least, they're Old Testament up until the moment Christ was crucified. All right, at the very least. And we know that Hebrews tells us that the New Testament is not in effect until the death of the testator. So until Christ died, went to heaven and stayed there, the old economy was still in effect. Even when he was crucified, one of the things he spoke from the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we know that the Father forgave them on the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for. And if the Father forgave him, then we know that the old economy here remained in place until when? Until this guy Stephen. So we know that this is Old Testament doctrine from Stephen all the way back. This is a guy that got hung up in a rationale that didn't work. Yeah, Ron. Why it wasn't what? Well, you're right. But the thing about it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was known in the Old Testament. I mean, if you read Matthew, it's right there in Matthew in black and white. Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But the thing about it is this gentleman, Mr. A, he's not searching for the meaning of the resurrection. He's looking at the content of the resurrection. And he's saying that when I read the Bible, the Old Testament Bible, from Genesis through Malachi, he says it's not there. Well, it's alluded to in Psalms on more than one occasion. But it's not there that Christ died and in 3 days he was resurrected. But it is there in Matthew. It is there, I believe, in John. So the issue that I get concerned about is this guy went astray. This guy had the opportunity to bring him back. And neither one of them could answer the question. The question was, where in the Old Testament does it specifically say that Christ was resurrected in 3 days? Yeah. Yeah. And where do you prove it? Matthew. It's right there. But if you're not looking at Matthew as an Old Testament book, if you're looking at Matthew as a New Testament book, the guy has got a problem. The guy has a problem. All right? So does Mr. B in reality, because I was shocked when I heard that. I just went. Now, I've long contended, and in the process, when we get back and are looking at Romans again, in the process of looking at Romans, we're going to look at this a little bit, this idea how many of you read, I don't want any hands, I just want you to think about this, but how many of you read the Old Testament on a regular basis? On a regular basis. One thing I find is, right now after all these years, 40 plus years, I still find when I read the Old Testament that I sometimes go around saying, what? What's that mean? Lord, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. These people never talk about this program. But this program talks about this program all the time. Remember in Acts 15 where Paul goes down to Jerusalem to the conference and he says, Peter, James, and John, they all had this conversation, but it meant nothing to me because I already knew all that stuff. Contrary-wise, they didn't know anything about what I was doing. And when I explained to them more correctly, I believe it was, the direction they go, they offered me the right hand of fellowship. Paul goes to Jerusalem and says, whatever these guys knew, I already knew, and it meant nothing to me. But what I knew, they didn't know. And I extended them the knowledge I had, and they accepted it. They took that knowledge. And that's exactly what it's all about. Here's a guy that's saying, I'm taking the knowledge these guys know, and I'm trying to apply it to prove this, and it doesn't work. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I've spoken this way before. I said, Paul is the window of our minds that we slide over this Old Testament stuff, and it explains it to us. I never really understood what was happening to Abraham until I began to read what Paul said in Romans 4. I never got a handle on Romans or Abraham and that Old Testament part of that doctrine that happened to Abraham back here until I began to understand Romans 4. I don't think we can understand the Old Testament without Paul's doctrine. I mean, after all, it wasn't given. Certainly wasn't given to the Gentiles. And you know, when I read the Old Testament, basically that's what I am. I'm an old Gentile trying to read the mystery or the programs given to Israel. Okay, look, I took you there. Look at Matthew 27:63. Joseph of Arimathea goes to take the body from the cross, and we're going to look at 62 and 63. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said while he was alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Now it's wild that Mr. A missed those 4 words or 5 words. But then again, if he's not looking at Matthew as an Old Testament book. Now you could come up with the argument, well, you know, he was already dead when Joseph of Arimathea went to get him. He was already dead in the grave or going into the grave. Therefore, the New Testament's in effect. Luke 18, Mark 8, John 2, but look at Luke 18. Luke 8. 22, is it right? 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted upon, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he will rise again. Old Testament. I bring this whole thing up because I have talked with my daughter Debbie, and she said to me, you know, and I was telling her, I said, the three of us sat there and we heard this story and we all said, well, yeah, well, what do we do now? Well, and we thought about it. And we went home, and she says, sometimes the problems with you old guys. She says, sometimes, and she was referring to me and Roger and Ron and probably this white-haired old guy up here. She says, the problem with you old guys is, she says, sometimes you get so steeped in the high doctrines of the scriptures that you overlook the finer points. I can't have too many conversations with you, you know, because she doesn't say to me anymore, yes, Dad, you did good. You taught good, Daddy. She says, I didn't understand that. You talked over my head. Why don't you come down to my level? Or you guys get so involved in the technicalities of the doctrines that you don't see the finer points. And I think that's exactly probably what happened to Mr. A, is he got so steeped in higher doctrines that he overlooked where we're coming from. I rest. But it amazed me, Roger, that I went home and I sat down and got in a quiet spot and started thinking about that. And I said, I could have had a V8. Yeah. And I understand exactly. I mean, what when somebody calls you up out of the blue and says, I'm rejecting my Bible because I don't understand this. Can you explain it to me? And you'd say, Sure, there's no doubt in my mind that had Mr. B had time to sit down and say, what's he saying? That he would have come up and said, yeah, here's the problem. Well, see, and that's the issue. That's the issue right there. Mr. and Mrs. America, I point this out to you. As the dichotomy that exists that puts us all on the dull side of the knife is so many times I'm involved in this proof to do something, and instead of coming out here and taking an external position and looking back at this, I pick something inside of this to solve it. I mean, I don't believe in the New Testament, or I don't quite have a handle on what that is, so I'm going to pick something inside of that to prove my case. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Yeah, Ron.
All of what you said here was proved in the Old Testament, because there's not a New Testament until the Doctrine and Testator, which is in Hebrew, and Mr. Other guy, he knew that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, he knew Hebrew.
He's not looking at that as part of the Old Testament, and it's not really, it's part of the New Testament. No, the issue, you're right in what you're saying, Ron. It's there. It's in the Gospels, and that's Old Testament. He didn't see it that way. That's the issue. Because of that one idea he had gotten in his head, that it wasn't there. So you know that obviously, excuse me, you know that obviously the man does not see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as Old Testament books. See, that's, we know it's there now, but I had to go home and think about it for several hours and sit there and scratch my head and say, wow, that's simple. And you and I can look here in retrospect, but now, when Mr. A calls you and says, it don't work, I'm abandoning the whole thing, I did the same thing. I did this same thing. Yes, sir. I read the Hebrews. I read in Hebrews. Yeah, Roger. Oh, okay. Yeah. The thing about it is, this was known by the prophets from the beginning. This was not made known. If I believe this to be what I believe it to be, when I read it and it talks about this, I better believe this. You know, I can't say, well, Paul is lying because he's talking about something here that's not spoken about over here. Therefore, I reject all of this. What a lame-brained excuse to abandon the process for, because you don't want to believe what Paul says. Now, I don't know how many of you have had any long, dark discussions with Calvinists. But I've had a couple people in my life who are Calvinists, and one young lady was saved and believed and understood Pauline doctrine, but she was a Calvinist. And the best way to see what their problem is we were discussing the law in the context of Romans 4. All right, Romans 4 is where Paul says, if you are saved by the law, then you make God a debtor. Okay? Paul says, if you are saved by the law, you make God a debt. Because basically, God has said, if you do this, then I will do this. So if you do what God said, then he owes you the consequence, which is blessing. But essentially, if you are saved by the law, then you make God a debtor. And Paul says in Romans 4, no, it doesn't work that way because you're not saved by the law. But the Calvinist takes their concept of the law here and tries to overwrite Paul here. Paul is teaching you here what this means. You know, I can come up to you and say, the answer to the equation is 1 is over minus x plus 3. That's the answer. Now tell me what the equation is. What's the problem? And that's exactly what you're doing when you're dealing with the Calvinists. They're saying, we have the answers. You tell us the problem. Paul is saying, I know the problem. I'll give you the answers, but we won't listen to them. We talked about that a lot, and I got that on my mind. And the fact that two right dividers couldn't answer the question, as a matter of fact, five right dividers couldn't answer the question spontaneously, and I including myself, Roger, and Mark, because we were sitting there going, yeah. Well, what's that guy doing? Well, that's dumb, but we couldn't answer the question. Not spontaneously on the spot. Yeah. And it wasn't until I got home and I sat down and I spread my books out and I just began to sit there and ponder that I realized that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are New Testament books, and that crucifixion and resurrection is in those books. Or Old Testament books, and it's in those books. So please, you want to know what's going on here, learn what's going on here and apply it back. You know, Paul says in Romans 16:25, which was not known from the foundation of the world. They didn't know anything about it. They didn't know anything about it. Well, that's absolutely correct. And I think that is exactly what applies in a lot of these situations. We learn. And I think, Ron, coupled with that is the fact that we read the scriptures and we will not make a personal decision. Now, I know this doesn't apply to anybody in this room, but I know that we have all talked to people who we've given them some scripture and pointed something out to them, and they will say to you and to I, oh, let me go ask my pastor about that. And you know when they leave the room that their pastor doesn't have a clue, because he wouldn't be pastoring a Methodist church if he had a clue or he wouldn't be pastor in a Presbyterian church if he had a clue. But we refuse. You know, it's only at that point in my life where I said, you know, God did give me a sound mind. He did give me the ability to make a decision for myself, and he did give me this word, and I don't need Matthew Henry to understand it. Matthew Henry being a Baptist commentary guy. Of course, if you read Baptist commentary, and then you read the Methodist commentary. But when you read the Methodist commentary, roll up your pant legs. Well, I have taken 40 minutes of time just ranting and raving about this subject, so I will pick up with Romans again next week. And I'm glad you all came, glad to have you here. My tomato plants have big yellow blooms on them. God has been good to me, Jerry. He finally let my plant bloom. I ain't got no tomato yet, but the plant bloomed. Okay, I rest my case.